Saram, dear listeners, and a hearty greetings from the abode of Prashanthi Nilayam, from the most happening place on the planet. Today is May 8, 2014, and if you are thinking temperatures might be soaring like it does every year during the summer months, you are in for a surprise. This place never ceases to pleasantly bemuse you. From the afternoon today, there have been beautiful showers. Yes, summer showers literally in Prashanthi Nilayam. And how cool, breezy and comfy the ambience has become just when everyone was thinking, oh my God, it's so hot. Prashanthi is the abode of peace. Be it summer or winter, dry or rainy, nothing ever stops eager aspirants from all over the world thronging into this divine hamlet. And just 2 days ago, we had the sublime ceremony in the memory of Mother Ishwaramma. On May 6, 1972, the Mother moved on and merged with the cosmic consciousness. The same cosmic consciousness which chose her out of millions of mothers on the earth to grace her womb and glisten in her heart and home. On one occasion, Bhagwan said, Ishwaramma was the chosen one. I chose her to be my mother. This is the intimate relationship between Mother Ishwaramma and myself. Well, God comes down in human form once in a millennium, and those who are his contemporaries are truly blessed. But imagine the great good fortune of the soul God selects as the mother of his incarnation. It happens to only one individual in an entire age. Just like it happened with Kausalya in the days of Rama, Devaki in the Treta Yuga, Mother Mary in the recent times, and Devagiri Amma for Shirdi Sai, and now Ishwaramma for the Satya Sai Avatar. On one occasion, Swami said, it is because Kausalya bore him in the womb that Rama shone forth as God. It is because Putlibai fostered him that Gandhiji became famous as Mahatma. It is because the chaste Ishwaramma brought him up with love and affection that Satyanarayana earned name and fame as Sai Baba. Well, that is the love, the respect, the reverence of the Lord on his earthly mother. Professor Kasturi, the blessed biographer of Bhagwan, who has written the book Ishwaramma, the Chosen Mother, in it he has done a beautiful documentation of the pious life of this great soul. And in the foreword of this book, Professor Kasturi says, we were present at a special session of the Academy of Vedic Scholars, founded and guided by Bhagwan. This happened on December 31st, 1970. Swami blessed all with a discourse, and then he asked, any questions? Then the editor of Navakal, the Mumbai daily newspaper, this editor ventured to ask Swami, Swami, from when have you shown these signs of divine power? And Swami's answer came instantly, promptly. Swami said, from my very birth. Why? Even before, I was at Shirdi as Sai Baba, before I incarnated in the Raju family as at Puttaparthi. And before that, I was Krishna. The spontaneity with which Bhagwan answered this just left the editor absolutely speechless. And of course, there were many other important people in that hall that day. The Minister for Home Affairs in the government of Maharashtra, Mr. P.K. Sawant. There was a speaker of the Maharashtra Legislative Assembly, Shri Barde. There was a chairman of the Maharashtra Legislative Council, Mr. V.S. Paje. But the editor, when he heard that response from Bhagwan, he He did not know what to say. He stuttered. He said, so that is to say, he was saying, and Swami just took over. Swami said, that is to say, I resolved on my birth. I decided who should be my mother. Mere humans can only choose the one who is to be their husband or wife. But the mother was chosen by the son in the Rama and Krishna incarnations, and then too, as now, the task for which the birth was decided upon was the same. The conferring of prema on all, and through the fostering of prema, the cultivation of righteous living among mankind. This is what Bhagwan said. The task has always been the same. To shower love and to lead all on the path of dharma. But the instruments for different ages have been different, and for the present times it is so fascinating and interesting. The Lord chose a poor, illiterate, middle-aged, tender-hearted, absolutely unsophisticated, pious, rural, humble, a housewife. Probably because in her, steeped in her, were sterling virtues. Virtues which the Lord wanted the world to recognize. Virtues which the Lord Himself unraveled. And only when we saw these different facets of this glorious diamond, only then it became clear, at least to some extent, why Bhagwan had handpicked this noble soul for such a significant role in his avataric mission. In the foreword, Professor Kasturi further says, and I quote, "When we review the life of the mother of the avatar, we find ourselves progressing through curiosity, expectation, compassion and wonder, landing in appreciation, admiration and adoration." Ishwaramma was allotted the high impossible task of expanding her awareness beyond the ring of hills, beyond the barricade of tradition and taboo and the wall of custom and caste. Burdened with the prestigious and pardonable pride of the most precious motherhood a woman could aspire to, she could not, in spite of consistent effort, jettison the homage she attracted from all the continents. Even while in this predicament, she, like any other earnest sadhaka, earnest aspirant, anxious to win his grace, had to trudge along the inner path that leads from multiplicity to unity, from dispersion to concentration and meditation, from egoism to detachment, from passion to serenity, from unconcern to the love that cares and shares, from maya to the master. Unquote. Well, these are the words of Professor Kasturi, and that is the journey, if you reflect, that is the journey of every spiritual aspirant. And in that sense, it was the same with the mother too. But how the mother made this journey, and how the Lord guided her, cared for her, comforted her, loved her and liberated her, this is what is unique, absolutely unique to her story. Towards the end of that foreword, Professor Kasturi says, I quote again, "I have herein attempted to picture the mother through a few feeble strokes of the brush. I confess my inability to present a fuller portrait in spite of the 24 years I was privileged to spend at Puttaparthi, where she too was active in the village and at Prashanthi Nilayam. But she was too modest and humble, too non-communicative for me to dwell into her actions and reactions. She laid bare her heart to me only on the occasions when she needed some pestering doubt cleared, some knotty tension loosened, some deep apprehension exorcised, some rumor explored. She found in me a person who understood her predicaments and problems and who adored her as the mother chosen by the Lord. Unquote. So this is what Professor Kasturi confesses as he ends his introduction to this beautiful book. He is saying that there is so much more about the Mother Divine that needs to be explored, and given that the mother would never speak about herself and more often than not prefer silence to words, he could not do full justice to her character and life. And dear listeners, recognizing this, we in Radio Sai, over the years, in our own way, have been taking those small strides in documenting episodes and anecdotes from her life, which we've been able to gather from senior devotees who have seen her, who have interacted with her, and also from what Bhagwan himself revealed about her in the later years after she left her mortal coil in May 1972. And what we have gathered over the years is truly priceless, is truly something worth ruminating upon, is truly something for us to meditate upon and instill in our hearts and implement in our lives. So some of these facets is what we will be discussing today as you listen to this last segment straight from the studios of Radio Sai on Thursday Live.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:50, and today we discuss Mother Ishwaramma, the living scripture on Indian womanhood. Mother Ishwaramma, the living scripture on Indian womanhood. And to share his thoughts with me now is my Sai brother and colleague Arvind Sai. Regular listeners of Radio Sai would definitely know Arvind Sai, a gifted singer who has performed nearly 18 Burakatha presentations in the Divine Presence, and even now continues to sing and perform Burakathas in the Prashantinilayam Mandir. You would always find him singing bhajans in the morning and evening in the Sanctum Sanctorum. And the reason I requested him to be with us on this program today is Arvind Sai, along with his two other Burakatha teammates, has performed so many presentations on the life of Mother Ishwaramma many times in the Divine Physical Presence, and even has had the opportunity, plenty of opportunities in fact, of interaction with Bhagwan, where he heard Swami share details about his mother in informal conversations. Besides this, Arvind Sai in Radio Sai also looks after the Divine Discourse database. So he is someone who is most familiar with our repository of Divine Discourses than any of us here. So he is the best person for us to know what Swami has said informally about Mother Ishwaramma as well as what he has declared formally in his Divine Discourses over the years. So with great pleasure, I welcome Brother Arvind Sai to the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much, brother, for being with us for the benefit of all our listeners when we are discussing such an important, beautiful subject, the life of the mother of Bhagwan, Mother Ishwaramma.
Thank you, Vishu. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
So, Arvind Sai, tell me, you are someone who has had such beautiful interactions with Bhagwan and performed the life of Mother Ishwaramma, read so much about him, sang so many songs adoring Mother Ishwaramma. What is the most cherished scene, the uppermost thought that plays in your mind whenever someone mentions the word Ishwaramma?
Sairam, dear listeners, first thing which comes to my mind about Mother Ishwaramma is, in the year 2006, on March 9th, there was a sudden Burakada program wherein we took the card to Swami and asked Swami, can we perform Burakata on Shirdi Baba tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, why tomorrow? Today you get ready and come.
Okay.
And then instantaneously we went to hostel, got our costumes. Within half an hour, Swami asked, how much time do you want? We said, Swami, 20 minutes. Swami said, half an hour you go, I'll sit here only in the mandir.
Wow.
And then Swami waited for us. That's the only time where we had only our... other than normal Burakada costume, we had kurta paisama. And we performed.
After so you didn't have that elaborate...
No. There is no mustache, there is no nothing. There is no gungru, okay. Nothing. Just we put on the Burakada instruments we have taken and we started performing. And after the Burakada, usually Swami spends quite a bit of time with us to... he usually showers his love. He gives very valuable teachings. After Shirdi Baba Burakada, we went to Swami and we asked Swami, how did you like it? Swami said, so wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Then Swami said one very important point, which I remember is, Swami said, tell me your company, I shall tell what you are. And then Swami became emotional. He said, you have praised so much about Devagiramma today. Is my mother anything lesser than her? And he started weeping like a small kid.
Oh my God.
At that juncture, our Burakada master, Krishna Bhaskar sir, I don't know what prompted him to say. He just said, Swami, if your grace is there, if your blessing is there, by next year, by this time, on the same day, we will perform Burakada on Mother Ishwaramma. And then Swami was so happy, he said, Nanugraham Nashirvadam nekeppudu undi bangaru. And he blessed him profusely. Exactly after 1 year, on March 18th, this happened on March 9th, on March 18th, we could perform Burakata on Mother Ishwaramma. Till March 16th, there was no hope for our program actually. You know, as many of the listeners know, that during March, examinations go on.
Yes.
And then Swami always, you know, very particular about students performing well. So during that portion of time, only bhajans go on.
Okay.
And Swami, except for the gratitude programs. But I heard many of the elder devotees telling about, you know, you just go and pray mother. She will take your query or she will take your prayers to Swami. And once she submits to Swami, this is bound to happen. Whatever you wish for. So I thought, okay, I have given all my efforts we have put in. We have tried through vice chancellor, this, that, we tried to give letters. But that one day, March 16th, I just thought, I should surrender myself to mother. And I did 108 pradakshinas to Mother Ishwaramma statue in Ishwaramma school. On March 18th, around 1 o'clock when we were in college, we got a call. Swami is asking you to perform today in Mandir.
Wow.
On Mother Ishwaramma. And we went inside and Swami was so happy about the whole thing. He heard the topic. He said, oh, you're doing on my mother. And then Swami said, do very carefully. He said, so many listeners are there, audience, around 20,000 people. Then in a jovial way, he said, make sure that blood doesn't ooze out from their ears. Then we said, Swami, everything by your grace, only you should do. So that's how I remember this Ishwaramma story, which has become eternal, which Swami made it eternal. In 2009, I remember, we are preparing for one more story on Swami's life story. There was a big dream, cutting short. I was asking in dream, I was asking many questions. Swami is always telling, no, no, no. I made him hear all the 18 songs which we are planning to put in a Burakata.
In the dream?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm asking Swami, I'm negotiating a date with Swami. Swami, can we perform on this day, Swami, please, Swami, our final year is getting over. The last opportunity we'll be getting. Finally, I remembered, 2 days before, in the dream itself, I remembered, 2 days before, we actually composed two lines on Mother Ishwarama's poem.
Mm-hmm.
In the dream, I called Prabhakar, who is the main singer in the Burakatha. I told Prabhakar, please sing those two lines. We'll tell Swami. Swami will be really happy with Mother Ishwaramas. Then somehow he sang the two lines. You won't imagine the amount of happiness Swami has shown after singing these two lines. Swami, just immediately then Swami asked me, hey, when is your program? Then I asked Swami, are you trying to teach me this much time you have taken? Around 15 minutes, dream has passed by already.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, is it the chance that you've given me to be at close quarters with you and discuss? Or you're trying to show me that I love my mother so much. How could you forget about it? As soon as I got the topic out, you, like a small child, as though he got a small child if he asked for a chocolate, immediately when you can see the beam of joy.
Yes.
Similar way you acted, Swami. Then Swami said, nothing like that. Many people put programs, many things happen, but how many people give importance to audience? Then Swami said, your program on Ishwarama will happen when you can satisfy each and every member in the audience, then this program is bound to happen on April 4th. And you won't believe, brother, I got the dream on March 19th of 2009. On April 4th, as Swami said in the dream, the program did happen on that day.
Amazing.
So that's when I understood, like, even when you say divine mother, when you say divine beings, their spirit is so high.
Yes.
That if we really pray and aspire for something good, for something better, their blessings, their grace is always there. Every moment we can feel it. So I want to actually make listeners listen to this padyam which I mentioned
in the dream. Prabhakar sang
there only two lines we could tune that time.
Okay.
Later this padyam Swami liked it so much in Kodaikanal, in Puttaparthi, many times Swami asked just repeatedly to sing this padyam.
So do you have the padyam?
Yeah, please. Yeah. I'll just
sure.
ರತ್ನಾಕರ ವಂಶಪು ರಾಜಮಾತಾ ಸಮತಕು ಮಮತಕು ಪುನಾದಿವೇಸಿನ ಪುನೀತಾ ನೀತಿಗೆ ಸೇವಾ ನಿರತಿಗೆ ನಿಲಸಿನ ನವ್ಯ ಗೀತಾ ಮದರು ತೆರಿಸಾನು ಮರಿಪಿಂಚಿನ ದೈವಮಾ ನಿದುರಿಂಚಿನ ಭಕ್ತಿಗೆ ತೊಲಿಕೋಡಿ ಕೂತ ಮಹಿಳಾಮಣಿ ಲೋಕಾನಿಕಿ ಭಗವದೀತಾ ನಿನು ಗಂಡ ಬುಡಮಿ ತಲ್ಲಿಗೆ ಸನ್ನಿಹಿತ ರತ್ನಾಕರ ವಂಶಪು ರಾಜಮಾತಾ
ವಾವ್ ಸೊ ಮೆಲೋಡಿಯಸ್. I mean, it's so beautiful to hear, but I think for the benefit of listeners, you should explain to us also what is conveyed in this padyam, which Swami loved so much.
Yeah. Here, the first line, if you see, Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata, there are two beings who are very close to Swami, are got into the first line of the padyam.
Mm.
Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata. Rajamata is also a devotee of Swami.
Yes.
So, here it means, you are the Rajamata of Ratnakara family. Mother Ishwarama.
Yes. You are the queen of the Ratnakara.
Yeah. And the next line is, Samataku Mamataku Punadi Vesina Punita. You have laid foundation for equality and compassion.
Wow.
Neetiki Seva Niratiki Nilichina Navya Gita. She had stood for morality and service, Mother Ishwarama. And her love, the next line is, her love is beyond earthly mother can comprehend.
Wow.
Okay. And the next line is so beautiful. her actions are wake-up call to the devotees who are in deep slumber.
Her actions are a wake-up call?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nidurinchina bhakti ki toli kodi kuta. Like wake-up call, how a hen gives us.
Yes.
In similar way, her action is a wake-up call for all the devotees.
She is that exemplary personality.
Exactly.
Which makes us question ourselves, do we truly love Swami? Are we on the path that Swami Bhagwan wants us to be?
Very true. And the next line is, her life itself is like Bhagavad Gita for women.
Wow.
For women to follow, her life is like Bhagavad Gita. Ninu kanna pudami talli ki sannihita, you are closest of close to Mother Earth who has given you birth. So this is how the poem goes.
My God.
No wonder Swami liked it so much.
Yes. I mean, when the tune as well as the lyric, both are so profound.
I remember one interview, our sir got an interview when Swami called and he fell at his Swami's feet. In that particular Burakatha, Swami actually wanted to include three of his songs, Swami has thought.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, Swami asked, "Hey, are my songs okay to include in your Burakatha?"
Oh my God.
Then sir said, "Swami, what is mine and what is yours? Everything is yours." Then Swami revealed one. These revelations are what we should wait for.
Yes.
He said, every time you think in this way and start writing, the ring Swami had given him in 1964, Swami said, through this, I flow into your script. That is why people love your songs. It's not because of you write. It's because I flow there.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, if you see the whole... He wanted the Burakatha in such a sweet way. He asked, you know, have you forgotten about my mother? And then so many series of events happened.
Very true.
For it to fructify, you know. It is just a divine
saga.
Yeah, divine saga unfolding itself. And you had the chance to be part of it. You had the chance to play a role in it.
Really.
Amazing. And whenever you think about it, you know, I remember so many occasions whenever the word Ishwarama would just be mentioned in front of Bhagwan, that would be enough to make him emotional.
Very
that
true.
Would be, you could see that his heart is, you know, almost yes. overflowing. Just the mention of the word.
Very true. Because I remember in Kodaikanal, Dr. Geeta Reddy, the minister of Andhra Pradesh tourism,
yes.
she had come there and Swami introduced us to her and then Swami became emotional. Saying that, do you know, her mother's name also is Ishwari Bhai. Swami said, and then Ishwari Bhai, but then Swami said, my mother's name is Ishwaramba, her mother's name is Ishwari Bhai, see that. And then he became emotional.
Even slightest, where you think it is not related also.
Exactly.
You know,
so
even half, mention of half her name.
Very true. Because see, this name was not given to her after yes. Swami became God.
Yes.
Even before Swami was born, correct. The name was Ishwarama.
Yes.
Which gives, you know, it is already chosen mother. When you yes. said it's chosen mother,
absolutely.
Everything falls in place.
Absolutely.
The names, the forms.
Yes. So. And the beautiful relationship.
Very
in fact,
true.
I had the chance to speak to Ratanlal Lama.
Oh.
Who, as many... senior devotees would know that she had the chance to serve Swami at very close quarters for almost 50 years. And she was perhaps the only lady devotee who had the chance to
serve Swami
at close quarters and
very true.
Be in charge of Bhagwan's kitchen right from the 60s. And so when I asked her what are her reminiscences, what has she seen of the relationship that was prevalent between mother and Ishwarama. She had very beautiful things to share.
Wow.
So let us listen to a small clip of what she shared and then we'll discuss further.
Sure.
Sarah Manti, please share with us your reminiscences of Mother Ishwarama. When was the occasion you first saw her?
I saw her in 65, but I'm not a word of Telugu, you know. and she had no understanding of Hindi. So, only from a distance, namaskar, namaskar. Because she would not allow anybody to come near her and touch her feet. Very few people. She would say, po, po, po. Now, gradually, I started taking food for Swami upstairs in the dining room, small dining room. And mother also used to come there. She was helped by somebody. And she's sitting, and there used to be little, to start with, conversation between Bhagwan and mother. Swami was very naughty. Swami used to tease her, you know, and she would also answer back and wouldn't spare, you know, chajavab. Very good conversation. And then she would get very angry with him, get up, and then naturally we were 3-4 people, the steps were very narrow. So if we went forward, then she would catch hold of our hand, whomever she liked, and then we would go and leave her. And then she say, what shall I do? What shall I do? I know he is Pedda Devudu. I know he is Pedda Devudu, but he is my son also.
Which means, I know he is God, the big God, but he is also my son.
He is also. You know, that used to be many times, because really Swami used to tease her a lot. Swami, you know, really, and then have a good laugh. And then she knew that he is purposely doing it. That used to be there, whatever, you know. I think Swami's love for her, because if Swami talks that you are good and all that, so it would not have that sort of an effect as, you know, yes, you had this point, that point, just to...
Yes, sort of. I think it's just some way of that intimate relationship that they had.
Oh, lovely relationship. And Swami was very, very fond of his mother and respected her very much because she had very good qualities in her, very good quality. She would not accept anything from anybody, you know. Mind you, they were not very, in the beginning also, not very well to do. Even the Lord was also had, you know, and he would not spoil anybody. Especially his mother, he was very strict with her in certain ways, giving her things or sending her anything, because he never wanted her to get into any habit. He was very particular. And she also understood, and she never asked anybody, she never accepted anything. Even we would take something for her, and then we would ask Swami. So Swami would say, give it to her. She would not take it. If you would give it to Swami, then Swami would hand it over and then she would accept it.
Oh, she was very strict about not taking anything from anyone.
No, nothing. Not only that, and she was very strict in her dealings with the public. So that she never allowed anybody to come, only people, because she used to go to Vrindavan. When she used to go to Vrindavan, there were certain ladies, devotees, who were also taken. Now there is a room inside, where Amma is also there. Supposing Parvatama is there, Venkama is there, they are also there, and Mamma is there, and we are also there. You know, so then she would see what Swami's relationship with all of us is. She was very observant, though she didn't understand, you know, the language, but she knew. She even, when Swami went to do the Dharamkshetra opening, Swami took her. Then she went to few houses. wherever Swami was invited, and she observed everything, that what Swami's relationship with that bhakta is. And then she started keeping that, she was very sensible lady, imagine, brought up, lived in a village, not much connection, nowhere going, no money, nothing.
No education, nothing.
No education, not only that, you know, in every way, it was very simple. And also, she had that love for Swami, that she should not do anything which would upset Swami. Look at her love for Swami. As she used to say, many times she would be very angry. And then when she would reach her room, she said, I know he is Padda Devguru. 3 times he would repeat, I know he is Padda Devguru, but he is my son also, na?
So that is Ratanlal Lamma, and isn't that very sweet, Arvind Sai?
Oh my God, when she said, she didn't know the language, and Ishwaramma, Mother Ishwaramma didn't know Hindi. I remember the same problem we faced. I told in the dream, Swami said, your story will be successful, but there are plethora of conditions he put.
Mm-hmm.
He said, your Burakada should be heart to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Kodaikanal, and Mother Ishwaramma story was performed. And at point where, towards the end, it's my dialogue, and I broke down, saying that it's been 37 years that mother has passed away, and I broke down completely. For 5 minutes, there was only cries all over Sai Shruti. The main singer is crying, Swami is crying, devotees are crying, instrumental, everybody is crying, everybody is fully into that loss of mother, as though it happened then and there. And then, next day morning, we went for a lake walk, and then I could see some foreigners. I don't know exactly they're Russian or French. They just came up to 3 of us. They could recognize, in spite of being in white costume. They just came and said, now we'll say what we understood from yesterday's story. Could you say this is right or wrong? And they went on to explain the whole story in a sequence. I had just tears in my eyes.
Oh my God.
What could make them understand Telugu, a regional language of Andhra Pradesh, a person who is coming from France or Russia or any other part of the world, could understand the whole story 45 minutes, and they are with you. They said, even we cried. We didn't know why we cried, but we cried. And then I thought, oh my God, this is so beautiful, because Swami gives you that experience.
Wow. Even when you say that, when I have stand on end, I mean, this is what is heart-to-heart conversation.
Exactly. Because one interview, one of our brothers who got, they also said that one song they sang, Repalle Balunivale, which many of the listeners and Sai devotees will be aware of. After the song, Swami said, exactly in this way, Ishwaramma used to think in opposite interview room door. She used to sit there and she used to think, is this what happened? Is this what happened?
Just like Mother Yashoda used to think.
Exactly, exactly. And in our Burakada too, there is one song which exactly deals with this. It is called Nadenta Bhagyamo Manasa Inta Dodda Sutuni Kanti Telusa. I have the song for sure. Listeners. If you can play that song,
sure.
Then I'll explain the meaning later part of
definitely
after the song.
Nadanta bhagyamo manasa inta dodda sutuni kanti telusa. Nadanta bhagyamo manasa inta dodda sutuni kanti telusa. Mukkoti devatalu mudamuto koraga. Mukkoti devatalu mudamuto koraga. Kavi gayakudu
దర్శకుడు నర్తకుడు కవి గాయకుడు దర్శకుడు నర్తకుడు నాయకుడు వేదాంతి నీలి కాంతి నాయకుడు వేదాంతి నీలి కాంతి నాగర్భమున ప్రవేశించిన దేవాసీతుడు నాసుతుడు నాదెంత భాగ్యమో మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసా కాశీరామేశ్వరములు కనుల ముందే కనబడును కాశీరామేశ్వరములు కనుల ముందే కనబడును తిరుపతి శిరిడి ద్వారకాయోధ్య తిరుపతి శిరిడి ద్వారకాయోధ్య పరితికి తరలోచ్చెను పరితికి తరలోచ్చెను ప్రత్యక్ష అవతారుడు పరిపూర్ణ అవతారుడు ప్రేమావతారుడు సత్య సాయీషుడు నా సుతుడు నాదెంత భాగ్యమో మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసా.
Yes, Seven Sai, please tell us the meaning of this beautiful song.
As Ratanlal aunty said, like every time she is so proud of, you know, he's Pedadevudu, but still he is my son.
Yes.
The line you can see, Premavatarudu Satya Sahishudu Nasutudu.
Yes.
He is my son.
My son.
So I'll just give the meaning of the whole song.
Yes.
Like, how lucky am I? Who have given to birth to such a divine being. Mukkoti devatas are praying for his arrival. And he is the poet, he is the singer, he is the dancer, he is the scholar of scholars, Vedanta scholar. He is Vedanta himself. He has entered into my womb, who is none other than the divine himself. That is the first paragraph. And the next paragraph, this song also written by a sir who has seen Ishwaramma garu.
Okay.
Because he was coming from the year 1960. So after he has seen her, he could actually accumulate few qualities what he has perceived and he could develop into a song.
Yes, I mean that's really a great blessing. So he didn't have to really imagine, he has actually physically seen mother.
Very true. And then she says, the next one, next paragraph is, it's like, Kashi Rameshwaramulu kanula munde kanapadanu. They are seen in front of me, Kashi and Rameshwaram. Tirupati Shiridi Dwaraka Ayodhya Patti ki taralochanu. They are actually coming towards Patti. All these four shrines, all the famous temples of north and south.
They are converging in Patti.
Yeah, they are converging in Patti. He is divine in flesh and blood, full of love. He is Satya Sai and he is my son.
Wow.
It's so beautifully written.
I think, like every mother, she was very possessive of her son.
Very true.
And very difficult to reconcile that, you know, my son has suddenly become, risen to such great heights. And I think every day she was left baffled and bewildered seeing Bhagwan and his glory and his majesty and the devotees coming and, you know, the way his mission was unfolding. But at the same time, unable to let go of Bhagwan, let go of his son.
Very true.
Her son.
Because we can also, from Kasturi sir's life story, we can make out how she was so concerned when Swami went to East Africa.
Yes.
How many times she has told him, that please take care of Swami, please take care of Swami. Like every mother has,
yes,
in the similar way
she is concerned about Bhagwan's travels, Bhagwan's food, wherever he went.
Exactly.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And I think just like how she never wanted to let go Swami.
Yeah.
I think Swami also never wanted to let go of her.
Very true.
you know, that was the, I mean, Swami loved to be in her company because it was fun for Swami to be
As Mother Ratanlal Garu says,
yes,
it is fun to see both of them being so naughty.
Yes. Because in fact, Ratanlal Amma, she narrated one very beautiful incident. Once when they were traveling in the car, and Mr. Raja Reddy was driving, and Swami was sitting in the front, and Ishwara Amma mother was sitting behind Bhagwan. So behind there were three other ladies. So it was, you know, a bit tight, and the mother was sort of leaning in the front, and her hands were stretched, holding on to Swami's seat.
Oh, beautiful.
And so Swami took that opportunity, and the charming Swami that he is, you know, he started playing with mother's bangles. Okay. And then suddenly Swami said, "Oh, you have golden bangles.
Oh,
who gave them to you?"
What was her reply?
And so she immediately said, "Who else? Your father gave."
Oh my God.
So, you know, Swami had a hearty laugh, you know, and that really sent everyone into ripples of smiles, because everyone knew by no means her husband could have given her the golden bangles. Because, you know, Swami's childhood, they were struggling to make both ends meet.
Very true. Still,
the mother intentionally did not want to give credit to Swami. You know, just like Bhagwan never praised her qualities, you know. Bhagwan always loved to tickle her.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the way, you know, that it's like two pals, two friends, you know.
Very true.
Having friend. And that's why Ratanlal Amma says that effect was very nice, you know. This relationship had that beautiful effect.
Very true.
If you're a witness to it, I mean, I think, what other
nothing,
joy.
Nothing.
What other joy. You know. And so she went on to say that Swami was really, really fond of her. And because there was sterling virtues in her, and as she mentioned that even when someone gave something to her, she would always say, "You give it to Swami." She would accept it only when Swami gave it to her. Never accepted anything from anyone. And as Ratanlal Lama also concluded in that clip, Swami would never, she would never do anything without consulting Swami. You know, let alone going out. She would not even visit the houses of her relatives and other children in the village itself without telling Swami.
Sarah.
And even though she had all access to Swami, and she could actually go any time to Bhagwan's room, but she would never do that.
She gave him.
Yeah, she never took advantage of that. You know, even when Bhagwan came to the room, she would wait for Bhagwan to settle down, take the chair, Bhagwan to start the conversation, and at an opportune time only she would say if there was something she wanted to say. And such was her love that she would never do anything,
oh my God,
which could upset Bhagwan.
Oh my God.
And I think that is, Ratanlal Amma was saying, you know, in that sense, she was an epitome of Indian womanhood. You know, the virtues, that grace, that dignity.
Very true.
Of Indian woman.
Very true.
You could see in her that simplicity.
Yeah.
And as she was saying, she was very observant, she was very sensible, even though she was illiterate. She was very intelligent in that respect.
Yeah.
Lot of intuition, lot of common sense. And conducting the way Bhagwan would like an Indian woman. And
she has no compulsion, actually.
Yeah.
She need not follow anything.
Correct.
What her son says.
Yes.
But still,
yes,
she had that respect and reverence and treated Swami as divine.
Absolutely. Let me play for you one more clip
where
Ratanlal Amma, she's sharing about this aspect of Indian womanhood that she saw in Mother Ishwara Amma.
Wow.
It was such a relationship, no restriction, no nothing. Swami would talk to her, she would retort, she would also say, and as I say that she was a very intelligent lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was not an ordinary person. No, she didn't look, because she didn't have much dealing, but she was very sensible and a very good lady.
And Swami used to always hail her as one of the ideals of Indian culture, Indian motherhood.
And she was really an Indian motherhood. She behaved in that manner. She would never take advantage if Swami has come inside, that she would start unless and until Swami would go to that room, then a chair is put for Swami, and then Swami starts talking, then she would talk. Otherwise, mother, she can say anything she wants to.
Even though she was from the village and from a rustic environment, but she was very polite and very cultured that way.
And she was very nice to everybody. She knew how to behave. She was a great lady, really great lady.
Is there anything that you saw in her that you wish the modern generation of women should inculcate?
Modern generation, we are also, you know, we are not young. I'm 93, so I'm also belonging to that. We were brought up in tradition up north. Understand?
Yes.
Now, here also, the old people, you know, the Telugu, the Tamilians or all, though we didn't understand their language, but we saw that how they behave, as Swami used to say, how Indian woman should behave. It is only now the whole pattern has changed. Swami's college, Anandpur College, how Swami used to give discourses to these girls, how he used to tell them how to behave, how to maintain the family, how to maintain the children, how to look after the in-laws, everything. You know, Swami was a great believer of the old tradition of womanhood, not this modern. He never liked this modern behavior of women. He used to be very, immediately say something so that one was little careful. If one had any modern ideas, one would not express it, because Swami was dealing with everybody. At that time, so there was no such thing as central trust and all that. And no, some small committees were formed in all the cities, you know, coordinators and all that. And then Swami used to call them women. Also with women he used to talk very nicely, but distance. Women were not behaving, pushing or going near. Swami, wherever Swami is, they are sitting and perfect behavior. You know, if anybody misbehaved, I was asked to get out of the...
That decorum and that grace and dignity of womanhood.
Swami was very particular of old womanhood. And that is, he said, that is how the nation is what it is, progress.
So that is Ratanlal Amma hailing how through the mother, Bhagwan communicated the ideals of Indian womanhood.
Very true, Bhishma.
And in fact, I remember there was this occasion where we did an article on a painting of Mother Ishwaramma that our Sai brother Madhusudan Rao Naidu had once drawn. This happened in Vrindavan in 2003.
Oh.
And he had drawn two life-size portraits of Mother Ishwaramma and Bhagwan's father, Pedda Venkama Raju.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. And Swami liked the portraits, and they were inside Trai Vrindavan. And one afternoon, Swami calls him. And Swami very curiously looks at the photograph, and then he tells Madhu, "Hey boy, why is Ishwaramma not smiling in this picture?" Swami says, "She used to be always smiling and happy."
Oh my God.
And then Bhagwan draws the attention of Madhu to the plain sari of the mother. And then Swami says, "She was a very simple lady. See, she was always content wearing the simplest of clothes."
From a portrait, Swami is actually deriving so many qualities
of
her.
Not only that. And Swami looks at her feet, and then Swami says, "See, her feet are not seen because they are covered by the sari. She was a very shy woman, and she would never let anyone see her feet."
So beautiful.
And then Swami said, "See, only one hand of Mother Ishwaramma is seen because the sari has covered the other hand. See how she covers herself completely."
So wonderful.
And then Swami pointed to his own body and said, "See, even I don't don't like to show my feet. That's why I cover myself completely. I wear a close neck and full sleeved robe so that my body is not revealed to others. And then, you know, Swami in a chuckles and he says that, you know, I would actually want to even cover my face. Swami was driving home that lesson straight, you know, that what one wears reflects one's self-respect.
Swami tells, kattu bottu juttu.
Yes.
The way you drape your sari, kattu. Bottu is the bindi you put on your forehead.
Yes.
Juttu is the
hair.
Hair.
How you wear
how
your
you
hair.
Mat. Yeah. How you tie your hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. You mentioned about bottu. In that portrait, there was this red vermilion spot, you know, all Hindu women wear. And Swami pointed to that and Swami said, see, she was very pious. She was very virtuous. Then there was also something that she was wearing on the neck. And it seemed like a gold chain.
Mm.
Okay, but actually it was not. It was a turmeric speared sacred thread.
You know, yeah, Indian women usually
which married Hindu women wear.
Yeah.
And no, Swami didn't fail to notice that. And Swami said, see, she never liked wearing gold ornaments. She was always happy with the sacred turmeric thread. And then Swami looked at the bangles that were there on her arm and wrist. And they were glass bangles. And Swami said, see, she never liked thick ornaments to show off. She was
so intricate.
Yes.
So intricate.
So, you know, from that portrait, he was continuously deriving so many lessons that he wanted to impart to all of us through that beautiful conversation that he had with Madhu.
Oh my God.
So and then, you know, really nothing goes unnoticed by Swami. Because there was this small green spot on her forearm.
Mm.
And Swami informed that it was pacha.
Pacha. Ah, pacha. Yeah.
It's a traditional tattoo.
Yeah, in Telugu they call pacha.
Mm. Which village women, village people, they have
They have it.
As a tradition. So like this, whenever someone talks about Indian women would know, this scene always keeps going in my mind. You know?
Very true. And I remember, like usually in any song, you adore, extol, admire Swami and his qualities. There is one line in Burakatha which I never understood for a long time. I used to argue with sir. Ninu talliga pondina maasai enta adrushtavantudo amma. Means, usually what we say, oh Mother Ishwarma, how lucky you are that you got Swami as your son. Here it is written by sir saying that how lucky you are Swami to get a mother like Ishwarma.
Oh my God.
It's like ulta. So then he said,
it's like God, you know, God is all the time looking for the dear devotee. One devotee, Swami says.
Yes, exactly.
Like God was lucky to find one soul whom he can really confer that blessing of being a mother.
Very true. Because after Burakatha, we have performed many discourses because now get a chance to hear opportunity. There you can make out actually Swami meant it. Swami actually meant it. He himself said in many discourses saying that it is like we both live for each other. I have chosen and she has chosen me.
Wow.
It's like both ways it is true.
Yes. And I think that is the reason why, you know, Swami would do anything to make her happy, to keep her happy.
Very true.
And Ratanlal Amma used to say that how, you know, just like all grandmothers have this weakness to do something for the grandchildren. They love to see their grandchildren happy. And Swami knew that mother never asked anything for herself.
Yes.
So what Swami would do is Swami would often send her to the city along with all her grandchildren, and she, you know, he would send an escort and he would say, give her money, and she would say, you know, you go and buy things for your grandchildren, whatever you want, you know, you take them there, feed them, you know, make them happy. And that is the only thing which sort of, you know, gave her so much of happiness. But more than this, what gave her maximum satisfaction, which Ratanlal Amma said, is when heeding to her request, Swami elevated the suffering of some distressed devotee, you know, some ailing person, someone who had come with a problem to Prashanti and unable to, you know, access, unable to present
himself or herself
in front of Bhagwan.
Yeah.
And she would take up the case, and if Swami, you know, did something, that is the most satisfying thing for her.
I think that is still working out now for many devotees.
Even now.
They just go to the Samadhi of Ishwarama, Amma, this is what is happening. And
yes.
They find instantaneous solution.
Wow. Amazing. Actually, after speaking to Ratanlal Amma, I had the chance to also speak to B.V. Raman Rao Garu. You know.
Oh, Wonderful, wonderful.
He's the editor, current editor of Sanatan Sarthi, but you know, he's again like Ratala Lama, he came to Bhagwan in the 60s, and I think for 50-60 years they have done yeoman service to Bhagwan's mission. And he also had the chance to see Mother, and in the later years also interact with Mother. And when I spoke to him, this is the only thing, you know, he started with saying this thing, that the scene that is always fresh in our memory is how Mother used to take up the cases of all those devotees, you know, who needed Bhagwan's love, who needed Bhagwan to intervene and, you know, solve the problems in their life.
She was always selfless.
Absolutely.
Selfless.
Absolutely. Let me play that clip for you, what Raman Rao sir said.
Yeah.
And then we'll go further.
Sairam sir. You are someone who came to Bhagwan way back in the 60s. And not only did you have since then amazing moments with Bhagwan, but you were also fortunate to watch Bhagwan's mother, to actually see Mother Ishwaramma and probably interact with her, probably see the relationship that Swami had with this chosen mother of the avatar. So what are your memories of Mother Ishwaramma?
See, frankly, my interaction with Mother Ishwaramma was very limited because there is no scope for any interaction because she was always surrounded by a number of ladies with their grievances, their general grievances to the ladies. So that Swami did not give them interviews, Swami did not hear their grievances and all that. So she was more or less sort of a mouthpiece. She used to go and narrate to Swami, and Swami sometimes reluctantly, we used to be there. We used to hear Swami saying, you know, they always come and trouble you, so but you just, but finally he will agree, he said, all right, you put them all in a line. This is the general way. So all these people who did not have interviewed with their own grievances and they had their own problems, Swami used to yield to some extent and ask her to finally put them in a particular place. And Swami rarely used to go to them and then talk to them. Console them and do whatever it is, solve their problems or console them or whatever it is. So he had this certain, visibly he may not be responsive, but in his heart of hearts, he is always a blessing here. Whenever she tells about somebody, he immediately calls, tells her, all right, let her sit down there.
So if people went to Mother Ishwaramma with their problems, so there is always a hope that if Mother Ishwaramma takes their problem to Swami, then maybe Swami will listen to their voice.
Yes, it is really so.
So that was Raman Rao Garu. And as you heard, he said that Mother was more or less the mouthpiece of all the troubled hearts in Prashantanilayam. And those who could not get Swami's attention for some reason and desperate to find a solution to their maladies, they would go to the Mother and she would somehow present their pitiable conditions to Swami. And even though Bhagwan would appear disinclined to take recommendations from her, but he would always always give her his ear.
My God.
He never gave her a deaf ear, Bhagwan. And Raman Rao Garu, he was sharing how it was actually sometimes a very difficult situation for Bhagwan, because Bhagwan had to do this tightrope walking because he never wanted the world to feel that, you know, the access to him is through the Mother.
Yeah.
You know, the Mother will become his secretary. So he never wanted to give that impression. At the same time, he never wanted to displease Mother.
Yeah.
So, more often than not, he would bless everyone Mother brought.
Yeah.
But he will pretend as if he is doing it reluctantly.
As though to please her. Okay, for your sake I am doing. Otherwise.
Yeah. So, and yeah, Mr. Raman Rao, he was saying he has been a personal witness to so many instances like that. When a mother, you know, would come plead on a devotee's behalf and Swami would say, okay, all right, ask them. So I think that was the selflessness,
yeah, of the mother. And for dear listeners, Mr. Sir Raman Rao Garu is close to 90.
Yes, absolutely.
And he looks like somewhere like a 20-year-old boy. He walks with a stick and just he'll be ready to yes. hammer you if you do anything wrong.
Absolutely.
And like about her mother's selflessness.
Yes.
Because I said in the initial starting that I prayed for the Burakatha to happen. After this Burakatha, first time when we performed Ishwaramas, usually I said that Swami, you talk to us for around 15-20 minutes and satisfy you completely. But this after this one Burakatha in 2007 for the first time, he was very reluctant to give even Pad Namaskar.
Oh, you finished the Burakatha and he didn't
after
talk
after Burakatha,
to you.
Immediately he went to interview room. He came after 20 minutes. He said, bhajans. After that, we are just pushing ourselves towards Swami to get Pad Namaskar. Swami was so reluctant. He said, just sit down, just sit down. Don't come.
Very unusual.
Very, very unusual. And you know, sir is an old devotee. So he was actually jotting down what went wrong, where went wrong, why Swami is displeased. Apparently Swami looks not happy. You made mistake. You didn't sing well. You didn't tell dialogue well. So I was like, oh my God, Swami, what we wanted to do is to offer the story to you so that the world knows about Mother Ishwarama. What we have done is she has given an opportunity and we could offer it to your feet. No, what Swami, what wrong did we do? Please show us the way. And again on 19th, nothing happened. After 19th darshan, I came back to hostel, went again to Ishwarama statue in the Ishwarama school and did 108.
Mm-hmm.
And next day is Ugadi. And I went to Mandir very early in the morning. There was supposed to be a drama on Shirdi Baba. I was doing Pradakshina to Ganesha. Suddenly, one of the Swami's caretakers come out and say, Swami asked three of you to sit in front today. And Swami made it very particular. Three of you sit in the first line. Swami want to talk to you.
Awesome.
It was a shock for me. And I went and we three of us sat in the front. And Swami gave a discourse. In the mid, towards the end of the discourse, 2007, 20th March, yeah. Towards the end of the discourse, what is my dialogue and my co-partner's dialogue? Swami actually said the same dialogues. How we compared Mother Ishwarama to Yashoda, how Subbamma to Devaki Amma,
yeah.
To Subbamma. Like those dialogues, print Swami actually could narrate. And at the end, Swami felicitated us. And then we understood, like when you pray to Mother sincerely and without selfishness, it is not for my sake. I just thought, sir is an old devotee.
Yes.
Sir should not be displeased at the end of the thing because he has some concerns. If you really hurt Swami, Swami would have felt, but that's why Swami didn't give you because he's seen Swami for the past 30 years.
Yes.
But at the end, again, Swami has profusely blessed him. Completely suffused him with love.
Wow.
And then he sent him.
So Mother came to the rescue once again.
Yeah. Because she is so selfless. Because I, reading her literature, I found that whenever devotees came from visitors or devotees who had come, first thing she would ask is, did you have food? Are you comfortable? Do you have good accommodation? And then she says, see, Swami is coming. Utilize this opportunity. Don't indulge yourself in unnecessary talk.
Uh-huh.
Do not waste time.
Oh, okay.
And then she used to tell, at what this point you got this opportunity to utilize it. Utilize it to its fullest. And her selflessness, if you want to really observe, it can be observed in summer courses in Vrindavan. There are people from across the world who used to participate in summer course, but she used to have so much of concern for all these delegates and the students that they should get good food. They should be taken care fully by Swami properly.
I think those days summer course was an elaborate affair.
It's a 1 month affair.
Okay.
And she used to be so concerned about them. And can you believe it? Swami has dedicated Balvikas on her name.
Correct. Ishwarama Day is a Balvikas.
Right? Yeah. On the, like 6th May 1983, in the discourse I came across, that Swami says, this day is dedicated to Balvikas because of her noble intentions toward making a child a better child.
Yes.
So,
wow.
I have a clip actually, Swami telling about the selflessness of Mother Ishwaramma.
Okay, sure.
We'll play for
let us hear that. Yeah.
మీరు భజన అయిపోతానని చెప్తున్నారు.
You say after the
భజన సమస్తా సుఖినో భవంతు అని.
That the whole world should be happy.
కానీ లోకమంతా సుఖంగా ఉందా ఇప్పుడు?
But when the whole world has to be happy,
ఎందుకు లోకానికి అంత సుఖాన్ని అందించకూడదు?
Why shouldn't we give happiness?
ఇంతమంది వస్తున్నారే.
So many people are coming.
లోకానికి సుఖాన్ని అందించాలి స్వామి అనింది.
And she said, you have got to give them all happiness, Swami.
స్కూల్ పోయాను బెంగళూరు.
I took her to Bangalore.
అక్కడ సమ్మర్ క్లాస్ ప్రారంభం చేశాను.
We started the summer course.
అక్కడ ప్రపంచంలో అనగా అన్ని దేశాల నుంచి కూడా స్టూడెంట్స్ ని పిలిపించాము.
And all students from all over the world, they came.
కాలేజీ మాత్రమే కాదు.
It was not only our college.
అన్ని దేశముల యొక్క కాలేజీ పిల్లల్ని కూడా పిలిపించాను.
The children of all the colleges also could come.
వాళ్ళని పిలిపించి వారి క్లాసులు చెప్పి వారి సాయంకాల సమయం లోపల మంచి బోధనలు చేస్తుంటే.
So they were having classes, and in the evening we would tell them such good things. She would smile with joy.
తిరిగి భోజనానికి పోయినప్పుడు ఏం నీకు ఆనందంగా ఉంటున్నావా ఇప్పుడు అని అడిగేటువంటి వాడు.
When I stood to take my food, I would ask her, are you happy?
ఇంతకంటే ఆనందం ఏం కావాలిగా స్వామి?
Swami, what more joy?
ఇంతమంది దేశస్థులంతా బాగుపడుతుంటే నాకు అదే బాగు అని.
When so many people in the world are procuring such happiness. She had a heart which was large and expansive. Today we are very, very small. A small heart. Only our children should be happy. She was not the one who had such a... She never had such a narrow mind. If everybody is happy, only we can live in this village. Even if she had no education, she would always tell such wonderful, valuable things. Because mothers like her were there from time immemorial. So India gained such tremendous reputation.
Amazing. Swami is so powerfully mentioning the large-heartedness of the mother.
Yeah.
And in fact, I remember when I was talking to Raman Rao Garu,
yeah,
he was also saying that for him, that revelation of how much loved the mother was by everyone in Prashantiniam, that happened only when he saw the final moments of the mother. Until then, he also never realized that. And he started narrating to me the day of May 6th, 1972. As you mentioned, the summer course was going on. And at 6 o'clock that morning, Parvatamma, Swami's sister, she cried out, Swami, Swami, mother has fallen down. And that is when Mr. Ramabrahmam, who was the caretaker of the Vrindavan Ashram, you know, he rushed to the scene and he called Dr. Hegde, who was a very close devotee of Bhagwan. Meanwhile, Mr. Ram Brahmam went upstairs, but Swami apparently did not open the door. So, you know, he was restless, he was waiting to tell Swami. So after a while, you know, when he again went up, he was surprised because Swami himself was coming down.
Oh my God.
Coming down, but with a silk sari in his hand. And Bhagwan went straight to the mother's room. Nobody needed to tell him anything. He went straight to the mother's room and he told Venkamma, Bhagwan's sister, she has achieved what she had sought for. Mother had achieved what she always wanted, a painless Passover. She is extremely fortunate, Bhagwan said.
Oh my God.
She wanted to go
peacefully.
And then Bhagwan covered her body with a silk sari that he had brought. And then all along, Kamavadhani Garu, you know, the Vedic scholar, he was chanting Vedic hymns. And during this time, Swami also perhaps poured that tulsi water into her mouth.
So wonderful.
And what Raman Rao sir said is, what we do not know about this episode is that exact moment when mother called out, Swami, Swami, you know, what is recorded in the book. And, you know, Swami responds, I am coming, I am coming. And that is a mystery which none of us know, because, you know, everyone came to know of the event only when Parvatamma saw mother.
Ah.
But before that, what happened, no one knows.
Very true.
And Bhagwan narrates that how he came and, you know, how he had already blessed the mother.
Yeah.
So we do not know how that happened, when that happened, or was it just a call of the soul and, you know, Bhagwan responded.
Yeah.
You know, she called out and Bhagwan responded.
Bhagwan responded.
Yeah, it was just perhaps the connection of the soul. We do not know about all that. But what is evident is no one needed to inform Bhagwan about this. Yeah. Bhagwan came down from his room with the silk sari and he was calm, he was composed. He was absolutely in control of everything. And he says, in fact, within a minute of draping her body with the new cloth, Swami called Raman Rao Garu and he said, start immediately for the city market in our van. And Swami said, purchase flowers from there, because there will be no flowers in Puttaparthi at this time. All the rural folk in Puttaparthi would like to place flowers on her body. And from the market, you proceed directly to Puttaparthi. And then Swami thrust 100 rupee, 500 rupee notes onto his hand and, you know, gave this instruction. Acharya's car is there, you immediately go.
Oh my God.
To Raman Rao sir. And Raman Rao sir was, you know, he feeling embarrassed to accept money from Bhagwan, but there was no time, space to tell him anything. You know? Swami just asked him to rush. So he went to the city market and his mind was a muddle as he was going, because, you know, Bhagwan had not given him instructions as to what sort of flowers he used to take. Should he take loose flowers? Should he take garland? You know, how much should he buy? How much can he get for 500 rupees?
Yeah.
All those questions are going on. And once he reached there, he went to one of the shops and, you know, he told that he wanted to buy flowers. And that person asked, why you want this flowers? And he said, you know, Mother Ishwarama passed away this morning. And that flower shop owner, he instantly broke down and he started crying. He was crying inconsolably.
Oh my God.
And, you know, Raman Rao was saying, I was shocked. I mean, he never thought that, you know, this is 1970s, that some shop owner in Bangalore city market knows about Ishwarama, and not only that, has so much love for mother that, you know,
she instantaneously broke down.
Yeah, he broke down. Not only that, after that, all, you know, there was almost a scene. All the other flower shop owners, the vendors came and, you know, all barrage of questions. How did this happen? When did this happen? You know, how was she yesterday? What did Swami say? All that. So he started telling everything that had happened, and then within 10 minutes, you know, his entire van was filled with all sorts of flowers, because everyone wanted to, you know, want to contribute. Everyone wanted to do something, you know. And he says, he in the end, he gave them this 500 rupees, but they were not willing to accept. They said, no, you please accept, because, you know, others, I will get reprimanded from Bhagwan, you know.
Very true.
You please take it as prasadam. And he somehow, you know, thrust that money in their hands. He was telling, this was an eye-opener for me. Because I never thought that, you know, people in some, you know, group of shop owners...
Already it has reached far and wide.
Yes, that's so much. And for him, the greater revelation happened when he came to Puttaparthi. It was simply unbelievable, because he said in those days, if you had a crowd of like 200, 300 people, you know, it was a
huge
good number.
Okay.
It was a good number. It was a sizable audience.
Yeah.
But that day, when he came to Puttaparthi, actually Bhagwan's body was brought by Swami's sisters, Parvatamma and Venkamma. Swami sent Mr. Rama Brahmam along. So, they reached the house of Bhagwan's brother, Janaki Ramaya Garu.
Yeah.
Puttaparthi by 10:30 a.m. 6 o'clock that event happened, and, you know, by 10:30 a.m.
The body reached.
Body is in Puttaparthi in Janaki Ramaya Garu's house. And Raman Rao sir reached Puttaparthi by 12 with the flowers. And he says, in those couple of hours, the news had spread like wildfire. And thousands had flocked to Puttaparthi from all surrounding villages. I mean, people saying, people crying, wailing, you know, who will take care of our problems to Swami? Who is our refuge? Mother helped education for my child. Mother cured my husband. Mother helped my wife. Mother helped my daughter. Who will take care of us? Who will look after us? You know, that was the kind of, you know, people were just wailing.
Oh my God.
Listen, why did you leave us, Amma? All that. You know, I never ever imagined that she was actually the mother of not Bhagwan, mother of so many people.
Correct. She was a silent worker all through.
All through.
All through her life.
He never realized that, you know, mother was these people's strength, their support, their solace. He thought that it would be a simple burial, and a few devotees would come and few relatives would come, and, you know, it would just be over. But what he saw was, as he said, it was an absolute revelation. And that, you know, he said, it is only because mother was always concerned about others' welfare. You know, it's simple things like, if Swami gave her money, especially on Dasara or some Bhagwan's birthday on festival days, she would always give it to the poor and needy. Because she knew that this is what will make Swami happy. Her thing was, I have to make Swami happy.
Very true.
And Swami asks us, what did you do with the money? And if she says, I have given it, Swami would be very happy. And that is exactly what she wanted to do.
Oh my God.
And Ramanda Garu was saying that, I have no doubt, even though Bhagwan has mentioned it so many times, but I can feel, you know, given what Mother Ishwarama was, that she was truly that inspiration behind all those mammoth projects of Bhagwan. Because you could see that how she used to plead with Bhagwan for every little thing. Every little thing.
Yeah. About projects, now we are actually, as you and I, are also the recipients of these mammoth projects.
Yes.
The love. For example, Radio Sai. For example, Institute. We have studied there.
Yes.
We go for the healthcare.
Yes, hospitals.
And all of these are the boons which he asked from Swami.
He asked from Swami.
Because once I remember in 2004 when we performed the first Burakatha, there is one important song, it's a very big song, of Swami actually giving the boons, she's asking the boon from Swami and Swami actually giving it.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular song, out of tension, for the first time we performed, right? So we forgot. And Swami called for an interview. And inside, first thing, we are not bothered with Swami's talking to us. We just want to tell Swami, sorry, Swami, sorry, Swami, Swami. What happened? And Swami, we forgot this song. Swami said, sing. Then we sang the whole song, saying that this you have done, this you have done, your mother has asked. Swami said, my mother asked long back. I have done long back, sir. Said. Then, what we look at, the admiration, that we adore these projects, but the selflessness behind each one of these projects and the way they have taken shape and the love of Swami for her mother can be seen in these architectural beauties and the way they provide the healthcare, the education, and the safe drinking water. As it become eternal, actually.
Yes. I think Swami in so many discourses have mentioned this, how mother was the inspiration.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we should listen to Bhagwan's voice.
Yeah, please. It would be so wonderful.
It is not that I would like to talk about myself.
But
for this body, there was the mother, Ishwaramma.
She was uneducated,
she was actually illiterate. But what wonderful things she used to tell.
Amine Mottamota, Swami, Manadesimulo, Yento Gopamandundaru. Kani Chinnapilalu, Ayaka Natsukoni Bukavatan Potunarate, Nakchala continued Garstundi.
Swami, there are many, many people, but little children go walking to the school in Bukapattam from our village. Swami, could you please build a school for the children here? And I said, I have no money with me. She removed the golden chain from her neck and then she said, sell it. And then don't be hasty, I just wanted to test you. I shall build the school on the second day itself. The foundation was laid and in 1 week, 1 week it was complete and all the children were admitted to the school. After a week, I asked her, are you now satisfied? She didn't say she was happy. She said, I'm somewhat satisfied, but there's something more, Swami. What is it? You tell me.
My little
when little children have little ailments like cold and fever and all that, the mothers should walk to Bukkapattam and take them. And in the meanwhile, anything can happen. Swami, could you please build a hospital for these little ones? So I built a small hospital here. So she was a person who used to tell things which were for the good of all mankind.
Swami, mana gramamlo maatrame undi prayojanam kaadu. Anni gramamlo variki kuda nu aanandanni andinchali.
Swami, it is not enough if it is in our own village. All the villages should have these facilities.
Kanaka prati manavudu kuda nu sukhanga undali.
Every man should be happy.
After hearing Swami telling about mother, yes, selflessness and the way she has asked boon for the welfare of the society,
yes,
really it's like a speechless state.
Yes,
because I have done Burakatha, but every dialogue actually I can relive every moment now actually. From the Burakatha I have selected for the show, I have selected a song. But I was feeling how beautiful it was to present,
yes,
Swami's own mother story to Swami.
Yes, absolutely.
This is one song which was also liked by Bhagavan, and many a times he has asked us to sing. It's called Enta Goppa Intivamma Sadviro Ishwaramma. Yavaru Sati Leru Neeku Jagatilona Devudamma. I just give a gist of the whole song meaning.
Yeah.
Enta goppa intivamma, how great you are. Nobody else can match with you in this whole of universe. You are the epitome of womanhood. And then adigite ambarani dinchada nestudu, means if you ask your son to get the sky to down, sky to earth, will he not do that? Adagakane ichuvada asalaina devudu, means without asking, the one who gives, he is the real God. Ambaram nakoddu sambaram nakoddu. I don't want sky, I don't want your celebrations. Urivari saukyame ashteshwaryalu. Welfare of the village and welfare of the people in the village is what is all wealth for me.
Wow.
Okay? Chini china ambaram nakantu. That is the greatest sari, that is the greatest ornament for me I can ever have.
Welfare of the people.
So that's what we have seen. The previous clip where Bhagavan says,
yes,
the mammoth projects we are experiencing today, and we are a contemporary of that love.
Wow.
Because
wow.
of her. Wow. So just we'll
so this
play
song,
that song,
you have that song?
Yeah, we'll play that song for
you. Sadhiro Ishwaramma, yavaru sati leru neeku, jagatilona devudamma, yenta goppa intivamma. Sadhiro Ishwaramma, adigite ambarani dinchada, mungita nee sutudu. అడిగితే అంబరాన్ని దించడా ముంగితని సుతుడు. అడగకనే ఇచ్చువాడు అసలైన దేవుడు, అడగకనే ఇచ్చువాడు అసలైన దేవుడు. అంబరం నా కొద్దు సంబరం నా కొద్దు, అంబరం నా కొద్దు సంబరం నా కొద్దు. వారి సౌఖ్యమే అష్టైశ్వర్యాలు, వారి సౌఖ్యమే అష్టైశ్వర్యాలు. చీని చీనాంబరాలు నా గంటి ఎంత గొప్ప ఇంతివం. సాధిరో ఈశ్వరం.
వావ్, అమేజింగ్. ఐ మీన్ ది ఐ థింక్ ఫర్ ఎనీ సన్, you know, listening to their mother is always such a cherished experience. But you know, when you have a mother
of that sort
of such sterling virtues,
yeah,
and you can imagine, you know, the Bhagwan becomes a small child.
Yeah, I feel always like when Bhagwan gives discourse and talks about Indian women or motherhood, actually he can have his mother standing beside and just be like her.
Yes.
Like, yes, that is the way actually
Swami has shown all of us that those are the qualities which are required to make him happy.
Yes.
And to lead a life of that sort. Now, if you see everything in Puttaparthi, the way it has grown, the way it has been to people of local people,
yes,
of Puttaparthi, is nothing but her blessing.
Yes.
And her boons, yes, which came fruitful, which became fruitful.
Absolutely. The very fact that Swami stayed on in Puttaparthi is also her boon.
Yeah, exactly. Swami has given a word to her that I will stay back in Puttaparthi, I will not go anywhere.
Yes.
Even if I go, I'll go for some days. Yeah. That happened during the East Africa trip.
Yes.
Ishiya Raja, Swami, don't go, please leave. Don't leave Puttaparthi and go.
Yes.
Please, Swami, stay back with us. And the beauty, because we are experiencing every moment, actually we can just go back and give all the credit to her.
Yes.
Because some of the clips, Swami also mentions that, you know, whatever I am today, it's because of her. Otherwise, where is Satya Sai Baba?
Yes.
So he has given lot of importance to mother, and because there is, as you are mentioning in the initial stage of the show, that, you know, there is what you say in Krita Yuga, Aditi.
Yes.
What kind of a happiness she got from her son, we don't know.
Yes.
In Treta Yuga, Kausalya had to live without Rama for 14 years.
Yes.
In Dwapara Yuga, Yashoda gave birth, but actually she couldn't come out as a real mother.
Correct.
And in the case of Shirdi Baba, here is a mother who gave birth, but she has to go along with her husband in the forest.
Correct.
And here is Swami, who has taken birth, and Mother Ishwaramma became mother.
Yes.
Means he has taken care, like how an eyelid protects the eye.
Yes.
That is how she has been taking care of Swami. She has taken care of Swami and she has left him to the whole world.
Wow.
That's a gift
of the mother.
Yeah. There is one beautiful song, like we are actually asking Ishwaramma to come back,
mm-hmm,
just to see the grandeur of Pati, how your son has taken it to it.
Mother,
what level?
Come and see what your son has done to the world.
Please come back once and see how your Puttaparthi looks like.
Wow.
So it's called Okkasari Maralu Nuvvu Puttavamma Ishwaramma.
Okkasari marala nuvvu puttavamma Ishwaramma, okkasari marala nuvvu puttavamma. Kalalu ganna patti enta maaripoyindo chudavamma, okkasari okkasari marala nuvvu. ఎప్పుడో స్వామి నీకు మాటిచ్చెను గురుతుందా, ఎప్పుడో స్వామి నీకు మాటిచ్చెను గురుతుందా, పుట్టపత్తి మరో తిరుపతవుతుందని కదా, పుట్టపత్తి మరో తిరుపతవుతుందని కదా, ఘనపరపతి పెరిగెను మరి తిరుపతి కన్నా, ఘనపరపతి పెరిగెను మరి తిరుపతి కన్నా, వారణాసిని మించెను షిరిడిని మరిపించెను, వినవమ్మ ఒక్కసారి ఒక్కసారి మరలను. రైలు బండి తిరిగెను విమానాలు ఎగిరెను, రైలు బండి తిరిగెను విమానాలు ఎగిరెను, రహదారులు వేసెను రాజమార్గమేర్పడెను, రహదారులు వేసెను రాజమార్గమేర్పడెను, రవాణా సౌకర్యముదయమున సమకూరెను, పత్తివాసులంతా సత్య సాయికి మొక్కి మోకరిల్లెను.
Wow. So we are saying, Mother, please come and see how Puttaparthi has transformed so much.
Yeah. It is like, in the song it is mentioned that once upon a time you asked it in Swami, can this Puttaparthi become like Tirupati?
Mm-hmm.
Now come and see, it has become. It has, Varanasi is here. It has crossed the way Shirdi has developed.
Yes.
It is, Tirupati is right in front of your eyes.
Wow.
You can come and see. Railu bandi tirigenu, trains are running, vimanalu egirenu, flights, planes are coming and going. Rahadarulu vesenu, highways have come up.
Wow.
Can you come once and see the grandeur of Puttaparthi, O Madaram?
Amazing.
And all the people of Puttaparthi are just paying obeisance to your son. At least witness that once. Can you come in?
Wow.
Yajurmandiram nivasudu Yajnayaga katuposhakudu Pattipuri parameshudu Satyasayishudu Nisutudu.
Wow, I love the way it ends. Nisutudu, it ends with that.
He is staying in Yajur Mandir. He is the one who takes care of all the rituals, yajnas, yagas. Yajna yaga katuposhakudu, Pattipuri parameshwarudu, Satya Sahishudu, Nisutudu.
Who is he?
He is your son. At least to see all this now once, can you come back?
Wow, amazing. Beautiful. You know, Arvind Sai, I was talking to Ratana Lama that day, and I asked her, Amma, is there one virtue of Mother Ishwarama that you would want everyone to cultivate, every lady in the world to emulate?
What? I think I should give credit to you because such a beautiful question you have put.
Yeah, so let us listen to what Amma said. You know, I want you to listen it in her voice.
Wow.
But if there is one virtue of Mother Ishwarama that you would want everyone to cultivate, every lady in the world to cultivate,
I tell you what is it? One virtue, what is written in the Shastra about the woman of the house, it was all in Ishwarama.
Wow.
She was an example of womanhood.
She was living the scriptures.
Yes, absolutely. I would say that. At least that was my feeling. I don't know about other people. I had a great respect for her. I had a great love for her.
So that is coming from her. Someone who has seen Bhagwan for 50-60 years. Someone who has interacted with Mother.
She summed it up saying she is a living scripture.
Yes. If you want to see an Indian woman to the T, following Indian scriptures to the T, that is Mother Ishwarama. I think that really sums up everything.
Living scripture on 2 feet.
Yes. And I think that really explains why the Lord chose her, why Swami loves her, and why the very mention of his name always made the Lord so emotional.
Very true, Bishu. Now, I have said many times that Swami himself, in many discourses, has mentioned that without her, what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this one particular clip,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, Swami had showered his grace on all of us, maybe in this way, of maybe we are getting a chance to listen. So,
yes,
just we'll play for betterment of us as well as for the whole world. About what he has to say about his mother.
Tallulu pujalu cheyatam chetane, tallu yokka prodharam chetane, tallu yokka bhakti prapattulu chetane, mahaniyulu yokka gunamulu perugutu vachayi.
Likewise, depth of devotion, the intensity of sincerity of the mother, that is responsible for the greatness of the child.
Kanuka tallidandrulanu manam enaati kudunu dushinchakoddu.
We should never criticize our parents.
తల్లిదండ్రులను మనం ఏనాడు కూడాను హాస్యంగా పలకూడదు.
We should never make fun of our parents.
తల్లి యొక్క మహత్తరమైన శక్తి ఆ యొక్క హృదయంలో ఉంటుంటుంది.
The power of the mother is right there in her heart.
మాతృమూర్తిని గౌరవించుతూ రావాలి.
You should revere your mother.
ఆమె యొక్క కీర్తి మీ యొక్క జగత్ వ్యాప్తిగా వస్తుంది.
It is only her greatness that would make you great.
చదువులు సంజయులు ఉండనక్కర్లేదు.
They may not be educated.
అలాంటి చదువు లేనటువంటి యొక్క ఈశ్వరమ్మ ఈ పుట్టబతికి ఇన్ని విధమైనటువంటి గొప్పతనం చేపించింది.
అన్ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ మదర్ ఈశ్వరమ్మ హాస్ గివెన్ బర్త్ టు ద లార్డ్ గాడ్.
కానీ ఈనాడు ఆ పుట్టిన స్థానాన్ని వదిలిపెడుతున్నారు.
బట్ టుడే వాట్స్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఎల్స్వేర్ పీపుల్ ఆర్
ఈశ్వరమ్మ పేరు మర్చిపోతున్నారు.
They are forgetting their native land.
ఈశ్వరమ్మ కన్నటువంటి కుమారుని మాత్రము గొప్పగా పొగుడుతున్నారు.
పీపుల్ హావ్ ఫర్గాటన్ ఈశ్వరమ్మ. But Ishwarama's child Bhagavan is praised.
ఈశ్వరమ్మ లేకపోతే ఈ యొక్క గొప్ప శక్తి ఎక్కడి నుంచి వచ్చింది?
వేర్ ఈజ్ భగవాన్ విత్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ఈశ్వరమ్మ.
కనుక తల్లి కీర్తించి మనం ఎప్పుడు కాపాడుతూ రావాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ వన్ షుడ్ అఫోర్డ్ వన్ షుడ్ రివ్ అడోర్.
తల్లిని మనం ఏమాత్రం కూడా నుంచి కించిత్పరచకూడదు.
యూ షుడ్ నెవర్ ఇన్సల్ట్ యువర్ పేరెంట్స్.
ఈ విధంగా జరుగుతూ వచ్చినటువంటి సత్యసాయి యొక్క ప్రభావము.
దిస్ హాస్ బీన్ ద మెసేజ్ ఇన్ ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాబా.
That was absolutely, I mean, so powerful. The Lord Almighty Himself is telling, who am I without the mother?
Exactly.
Where am I without the mother?
Like, what is the role of, what is the role for each individual in actually taking care of his parents?
Yes.
And how one should lead his life is what Swami has shown by living
yes.
his life in that way. That way he says, my life is my message.
Absolutely. I mean, if even for the Lord, whom we adore as the Lord Almighty, as the cosmic consciousness, if He also places the mother at such a high pedestal, and then we have to think, if we call ourselves as the devotees of such a Lord.
Exactly. It's like Dasharatha gave a boon to Kaikeyi, and that if that has to fructify, Rama has to go for exile.
Yes.
He has done it.
Yes.
And Swami has done it.
Yes.
Swami has done it in every possible way to please his mother.
Yes. And if we call ourselves as Bhagwan's devotees,
yeah.
then I think this is something worthwhile for us to reflect on. You know, when Bhagwan himself had this much of reverence, respect and deep love and gratitude for the mother, then what we should be doing in our lives, how deep is our relationship with our mother, how much do we love our mother, how much are we stretching ourselves to make our parents happy, our mothers happy.
Yeah.
I think that is something for all of us to reflect, and I think this is something which will make not only our own earthly mothers happy, it will make Mother Isharama happy, it will make the mother of the entire universe happy.
Thousand mothers love Swami happy.
And I think that is something for us to perhaps ruminate on as we celebrate not only the occasion of Isharama every day, but as we live every day looking at our mothers.
Very true.
And looking at the picture of Bhagwan in our lives. Thank you very much, Arvind sir. I know we can go on talking about the mother. I really feel Mother Isharama has always fascinated me, and I'm really so grateful to you that, you know, you could also come for this program and share your thoughts. You've had such beautiful moments with Bhagwan, and I really thank Bhagwan for giving us this opportunity to be of some service and present this program on this beautiful Thursday. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I know it's already late, it's already 10:20, but we could not contain our enthusiasm to go on and finish, at least share whatever we thought we could share with you on this glorious life of the mother. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to share. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Before we draw the curtains, I would like to sincerely thank all of you and place Arvind Sai and myself, place our sincere gratitude at the lotus feet of Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity of sharing his love and his message. As I wind off, you will continue to listen to a drama by the youth from Kuwait which was staged in front of Bhagwan on 12th July 2003. So keep listening. Let us immerse ourselves in his love, his music, his glory, and his breath. Let us make our lives his breath. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.